in learning this story, so that in preparation for telling it, first step is to recognize and identify the structure. And this story is structured in like four episodes, or four, you know, sets of episodes. The first is the healing of the blind man, which begins with, you know, as Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth, and ends with his saying, "I don't know," in response to their question, "Who is, where is he?" So that's the first section of the story, and it is, it has seven episodes. The conversation between Jesus and the disciples, and then the healing, you know, where he goes and washes, and then the dialogue between the neighbors who had seen him before as a beggar and the blind man, which is the major part of this first section. And it is utterly delightful in terms of, you know, they're talking about him, and then his saying, I'm the man! And it ends up then with his saying, I don't know. The second section of the story starts with then is the scene of the disciples, or of the Pharisees, examining him, interrogating him. So it's an interrogation. It's a hearing. It almost has legal status, and it needs to have that atmosphere, that they are bringing him before a kind of court. And it ends with his saying, he's a prophet. And so that scene is the second part that sets up then the interrogation of his parents, which is a three-part episode, four episodes in that scene that begins with the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight. And it ends with, he's of age, ask him. The thing that is most significant about this scene is the nervousness and the intimidation of the parents and how scared they are, and is to convey that in that scene, which is in the context of the agreement among the Jews that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. The next scene is then the second interrogation of the blind man, which has a kind of crescendo to it in terms of the level of conflict, and is where the blind man really becomes fully a person, is in this interrogation. And first of all, it is the episode of his saying, you know, one thing I know, I was blind and now I see, and then of his making fun of them in relation to wanting him to be his disciples because they ask him again, how did it happen? And they revile him. And in the last episode, then, is his two-episode speech, in which he states clearly and strongly, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And it's in response to that, then, that they drive him out, and which is the climax. And then the final, it isn't the final episode. The next one is the conversation between Jesus and the blind man, which is his confession. And this is where he becomes fully a person and responds to Jesus straight, clear, with no hesitation or sense of inferiority. And the last part then is the beginning of Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees, which goes on then into chapter 10. And I would suggest that for the sake of the story, that that you end the story with, and he worshiped him. Because what happens in these two episodes in relation to the Pharisees is that they're utterly enigmatic statements that become clear later. But it's essentially establishing the puzzle for the dialogue that is to follow. So I would not recommend reading those as part of the lesson. It's a long story anyhow. Now, in relation to this story and telling it, the most important thing is the characterization of the blind man. And what you have in this story is a kind of birth narrative in which he begins as a non-person who almost does not exist and has no sense of his own presence, of his own voice, who is utterly nervous can't talk. So however you want to convey that is the evolution, the development of the blind man's character. That's in gestures. You know, the Hunchback of Notre Dame kind of portrayal also comes to mind, of his being kind of, you know, drawn in on himself and unsure of himself and shuffling or whatever, so that that can have a that can be a part of the characterization, to his standing tall with his shoulders back with a confident voice, and in which Jesus has then given him not just his sight, but he's given him social status, he has given him dignity, and the blind man discovers that. That's what needs to be conveyed in the course of this story, is literally the growth of this man into being a full person. The Pharisees are real authority figures. One of the dimensions of this story is that the Pharisees did not have the kind of power that is portrayed in this story. In Jesus' day, they were a lay Bible study group movement, people who were intent on and really trying to be religious and observe the law, who met to reinforce each other in that. But they didn't have power. After the Jewish War, when the governmental structure organized around the temple and the chief priests had disappeared, the Pharisees became a primary authority and source of power in the Jewish community. And so this reflects that post-70 situation in the time of John, probably in the late 80s, early 90s, in terms of when this story was told. And it is told then about Jesus in a way that connects with the situation of the community that is telling this story, the struggles between the Jews who believed that Jesus was the Messiah and those who did not in that period. But the Pharisees then are real authority figures. And so to convey that, to convey that they are in effect judges who are holding a court trial, and in which finally the blind man is found guilty and is expelled from the synagogue. If you want to read about this, Lou Martin's classic book, History and Theology in the Fourth Gospel, outlines that the Birkat Haminim, which was the benediction that was added that anyone who would confess Jesus as the Messiah was to be cursed. And it was added to the benedictions that were recited every time in every day in the synagogues. So you can read about that if you want to explore it further. But what's going on here then is a legal expulsion. Now, in this story, the reason for the scandal in relation to this is that Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. This also happens in John 5, in the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda, Bethsaida, who is healed on a Sabbath day, who picks up his mat and walks, and Jesus tells him to do that so that he has broken the law. And that is the occasion for this enormous amount of hostility toward Jesus. Sabbath law was the defining issue of Jesus' identity in the first century. And so there was that degree of conflict and of hostility toward people who broke the law. I remember when we were in Jerusalem that we drove a bus. We were on a bus that was driven by a Palestinian at that time. This was in 1978. And the bus was right on the edge. He drove it right to the hotel, which was right next to an Orthodox Jewish neighborhood. And it was the beginning of the Sabbath. It was just after sunset on Friday night. And the bus was immediately surrounded by men who were violently angry. They were beating on the bus. They went into the hotel and told the owner of the hotel that if they had ever allowed another bus to come up there on Sabbath evening, that they would shut down the hotel. They threatened to push the bus over. They were violently angry. That's a reflection of the attitude. They also, in Jerusalem in that time, were throwing bricks at people who were driving on the road on the Sabbath. They were throwing bricks at the cars, stones, so on. So there's a lot more behind this than meets the eye, and that we know about. The delight of this story in telling it is the interaction between the blind man and the Pharisees. A part of what is happening in this is that the audience is addressed by the blind man as the Pharisees. Now, that is a preparation for what follows this story, which is introduced at the end in those last two episodes about, we're blind, but, you know, we can see, and Jesus' words about that, which is the introduction to and the beginning of a long discourse in chapter 10 about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. That is addressed to the audience as the Pharisees. So there's a way in which this story is a preparation for that longer speech. The dynamics of audience address in this episode are not strongly addressed to the audience. That is, the audience is, watches this interaction between the blind man and the Pharisees. But at the end of the story, there is this speech which is addressed to the audience as the Pharisees. What I would suggest about this story is to make it as human, as direct, as intense as possible, in terms, and especially in terms of the development of the character of the blind man and what Jesus does for him. So that what happens in this is that his eyes are opened, but that's just the beginning of his full development as a person. That is then, you know, what is at the core of the dynamic of this story. Have fun telling it.